Chapter 3, The Battle for Hearts and Minds. Environmental activist Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
When we talked to people at that time in New York City, and I was going around doing speeches every day to civic groups and to schools, and we'd ask people, you know, mature people, sophisticated people, where does your water come from? And they'd say, it comes from the tap. You know, people didn't understand that there was a political battle over this resource that was critical to the city. And people just took it for granted.
The fact that we had an adversary that was a great city, a tremendous population, and to us seemed to have unlimited resources compared to what we had, just heightened the challenge. It was like being on a mission, you know, slipping into the city like a commando mission and testifying and creating havoc. I was surprised how sensitive the city was to things that were being said about them in public. I didn't predict that they would be that sensitive.
We decided we had to start educating people in New York City. We organized the developers. I went to the Milsteins and to the Fisher Brothers and to a number of the other large developers in the city and said, you know, your water rates are going to double and it's going to hurt you economically and we need some money. We went to the Hispanic and Black groups and said, you're getting the worst water in your communities, the worst water in the city. From the Croton system was going to the poorest areas of New York, to Harlem, the South Bronx, the Lower East Side, Hell's Kitchen. And we went to the gay groups and said, you know, your constituents are in danger for cryptosporidium, which kills people who are immunosuppressed. And we went to the unions and to the environmental groups, and we got about 60 groups signed on who were reliable at showing up at these parades and these events, and we started mobilizing people.
And for us, it became a battle of words, the draconian tactics, and you know, have a recital of some of the things that they were doing, and then they'd say, and these are unbecoming a great city, you know. The point we made, and we weren't so squeamish about this, is that under the EPA guidelines, public support for the filtration avoidance program was very important, and the EPA was going to take into consideration in determining the waiver as to whether the hearts and minds of the people of the watershed were behind the program. And the truth is, we thought that that was a more potent weapon, you know, controlling that issue, than all the lawyers that we could have possibly afford or not afford.
We hooked up with Chris Reeve and Alec Baldwin and Susan Sarandon, and they introduced us to a PR firm called Kirschenbaum & Bond. And it's an avant-garde public relations firm from Soho. 2 weeks later, we came back and they unveiled this campaign for us, which initially shocked us. The first poster they unfolded was a naked torso of a man from his neck down to his knees. And instead of having a penis, there was a faucet and there was graphic yellow liquid coming out of it and a disembodied hand holding up a glass to catch the liquid. And it said, did you know that 85% of your water contains human urine, which was true. Then another one had a toilet brush with a dab of toothpaste on it, and it said, brush your teeth with fecal dent. And then it had another fact about, did you know that the New York City water supply contains 2% of sewage effluent every day?
I can remember we stopped for dinner in Phoenicia, and we were talking about the events of the day, and so there was an older couple at the table next to us, you know, and the guy was just kind of listening, and he was stroking his chin, like, you know, and we knew he could sort of hear what we were saying, and he was interested, but we didn't know who he was or, you know, what his interest was. So at the conclusion of his dinner, he and his wife were just leaving, and he comes up to the table, and, you know, he points to us like this with his finger out, and he says, you boys keep your powder dry.